Welcome, everybody, and thank you very much for coming to this. We hope that this is a very rewarding seminar for you. For me, it's a real honor to be with the rest of the panelists. I know in the past I've spoken on the links between animal cruelty and domestic violence, as well as other crimes. And I've often quoted the research of some of the people on our panel, Dr. Tedeschi and Dr. Ascione. So it's really great. Not Diane. She hasn't done any research. She just does the real work, getting the bad guys in jail. One of the things that people really have to understand is the links that animal control, animal cruelty, the beginning of animal control started in the field of public health with trying to control zoonotic diseases. When I run an animal control office or animal cruelty investigator course in New Jersey, we run it in Puerto Rico, and what we stress to everybody is that animal cruelty doesn't stand alone. There are links to several areas. Domestic violence is one of them, child abuse and neglect, elderly abuse. You can see the list up there. It goes along with alcohol and drug abuse. When an animal control officer walks into a scene on a call for animal abuse or animal cruelty, there's a lot there. They're going to see children that are crawling around on a floor that's covered with animal feces. They're going to have to call the social service directors, child abuse and neglect. We call them DIFAS, Department of Youth and Family Services in New Jersey. There's a lot of links. Today, one of the ones that I want to stress, and I think we all will be stressing, is the link between animal abuse and domestic violence. Okay, what is domestic violence? There's several forms of it. Physical abuse is when a person hurts or tries to hurt a partner by killing, kicking, hitting, biting, burning, any kind of physical force. Sexual abuse, obviously, is forcing a partner to take part in a sex act when a partner does not consent. Threats of physical or sexual abuse include words, gestures, weapons. There's a lot of abuse that goes on that's nonverbal, just the look, just the threat. In fact, 93% of all communications, everything I've read, is nonverbal. So it doesn't have to be said. It can be implied. It can be a nonverbal cue. There's a little typo on this. It's what is domestic violence or intimate partner violence. That should be a V. Emotional abuse is threatening a partner or his or her possessions. We know physical abuse. It's pretty clear. But what is really some of the real issues here that are sometimes start before the physical level starts? Emotional abuse, threatening a partner or his or her possessions or loved ones, harming a person's self-worth. Examples are stalking, name-calling, intimidation, not letting a partner see friends and family. Okay. Part of those loved ones are their pets, part of the loved ones, and even legally, animals in most states are considered possessions. Often intimate partner violence starts with emotional abuse. It starts with emotional, it works its way up to a physical abuse. The behavior progresses. Human-animal bond. This is some research that has been done and published other places. But I like it because it really shows the connection. 84% of people in the survey acquired their pet mostly for companionship. 83% refer to their pets as their mom and dad or their pets. 59% celebrate their pet's birthday. 90% would not consider dating somebody who is not fond of a pet. So how many of you made that mistake already? You dated the wrong people, right? A few of you. You should have checked if they had a pet first, right? Okay, 52% believe their pets listen to them best. I know they certainly listen better than my kids ever did. But 93% are likely to risk their own life for their pets. That's the real emotional bond. That's the bond between the pet, the animal, and the human being. Okay. In many cases, when I've spoken to, I've worked on the Prevention of Domestic Violence Act when we developed it in New Jersey. And when you speak to some of the victims, that pet was the one loving thing in their life, the one link that gave them unquestioned love, no matter what. And those pets are often being used as weapons against the victim. Okay, public health response. You have to make this a public health issue besides a criminal issue. Okay? Public health has to take a look at this for what it really is. It's animal cruelty is not just animal cruelty. It leads and has links to all these other things, as we mentioned earlier. So it's the local public health department that's got to take a response. And as Jim mentioned, I've been involved in local public health for a while. And I'm aware of the power of the problems that local boards of health have and the responsibilities of a local board of health, but also the powers and authorities that they have and what they can do and what good they can do. They first have to recognize their responsibility. The public health practitioners out there have to realize that these links exist. Okay, they have to learn to work with the police, educate the community about things. One of the things we all have to do is train police, train animal control officers, train animal cruelty investigators and other first responders, what to look for, what the connections are. I mean, I know of states that have no training for their animal control officers. They said, great, you're hired, you know, and they make them go out on the field. Hey, ride along with this guy for a week and you'll figure out how to do it. There's no certification. I think New Jersey is either the only or one of the only ones that's the only one of the only, I don't know of another, put it that way, that requires that they take a college course to become an animal control officer. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Also, it's the only state that has a certified animal cruelty investigator course. So, but these are the kinds of things that public health has to start looking at in their own community, because where does animal control, animal cruelty people, investigators come from? Mostly they're working, animal control is working under their health departments. At least that's the way it is in most of the eastern states that I'm familiar with and several of the western states. Okay, let me go back. Okay, one of the other things here, last item on here I forgot to mention, is that public health has to coordinate with domestic violence coordinators. I know we have county coordinators for domestic violence. They have to start working with, and this means the domestic violence coordinators also have to reach out to the public health officials, but there has to be a two-way street of communications here. Talk to you a little bit about what we did in New Jersey. We developed through the legislature, we had legislation passed requiring that through the Department of Health, that there's a 49-hour curriculum that is required before anybody can even apply for jobs as an animal control officer. We have specialized training with another certification for animal cruelty investigators, ACIs. It's another 49-hour curriculum. Those classes have to be at a college or a university. They have to be approved, and they have to follow a preset curriculum with learning objectives. And in that, it talks about all these links. These people that are out there in the field in New Jersey are trained in recognizing what these links are and what their responsibilities are for referrals. And depending on the situation, what they see, they're taught to look for to make referrals on anything they come across. When I redesigned the basic course for police officers, we added it to the police academy curriculum. We run voluntary workshops for health offices. My association, the State Association of Local Boards of Health, what we do is we support training and we run training programs for both law enforcement who want to attend and for public health officials that want to attend. One of the things that is missing still in New Jersey is we don't have a lot of in-service training on this for police officers. Some of the problems we run into there is that the police don't recognize these links. They don't want to respond sometimes to an animal cruelty call, even though they have statutory authority to respond. A lot of times they say, oh, we don't bother with that. We don't do that. So we have to educate them about these links. We have to educate them about what their responsibilities are, too. One of the things we did in New Jersey for domestic violence that we tied into it is that we have mandatory arrest in New Jersey for domestic violence. If an officer responds to a scene and there is even the slightest sign of injury, doesn't have to be physical injury in terms of you see bleeding or a wound, somebody's bent over or holding their side, whatever it is, there is a mandatory arrest of the male, usually, in the house, or the suspect in the house. The woman, in most cases, I don't want to sound sexist, but it's usually a woman, is immediately taken to get a temporary restraining order. Okay. All weapons in the house are more automatically seized. If the woman says she doesn't want to file a complaint, you know what, it's too bad. The person's arrested. It's mandatory. That's just the way it is. What we have done in some of the counties, and what I would urge you to go out thinking about doing, is one of the things I learned from some of the great work done by two of my co-panelists was the problem of women entering shelters. Battered women shelters. Most battered women shelters do not take animals. Animals are used as a tool to keep women in their place, keep them in the house. Sometimes they'll kill one animal, a pet dog or a cat, give them another one and say, if you don't do this or if you do that, I'm going to kill this one too. Shelters don't usually take in the woman's animals with them. So there's several groups that are trying to set up different programs. PAWS is one that's on the next slide that will allow, if public health works with domestic violence coordinators in the counties or towns, allow us to set up a system of foster parenting. So if a woman goes to a shelter, they know that the animals will be taken and temporarily housed with the foster family until the woman is back on her feet. So some of our counties in New Jersey have done that. That coordination is crucial. What can be done? I like the PAWS program. That's Pets and Women's Shelters. American Humane Society has that. Establish the foster home system in your town. You can just do it in your town. You know, you don't have to all of a sudden go out there and have major legislation passed. But it's each of you that can go out and try to establish this within each of the communities that you have, that you live in. Work with your county domestic violence coordinator. Work with domestic violence groups. Identify shelters who will work with the victims. And don't assume, here's the thing, don't assume that somebody else is doing it. What I've learned in life is that usually nobody else is doing it. Okay? Don't assume, that's a great idea. I'm sure somebody must have thought of that. I'm sure somebody's doing that. They're probably not. So don't make that mistake with that assumption. It's up to you individually to go out and find out and try to do it if you have that interest. It's up to all of us to go out and educate. It's up to all of us as citizens to go into our legislators and have legislation passed that's going to help train people to recognize these links and to get programs in place that'll help solve some of these problems.